And now I'd like to introduce the headmaster of our Bhakti Shastri school that we have here at ISV. This is Srivas Pandit, our local pundit. If you kindly come up, please sit down.
Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Tivirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Thank you so much for attending this magnificent and beautiful Janmashtami festival, which is the appearance day of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, who comes once in the life of Brahma. One may question, why does the Lord come? And Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita that I come yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tatmanam srujamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That he says that I come to deliver my devotees, to give pleasure to my devotees and to annihilate the miscreants. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that there are so many qualified agents of the Lord who actually can vanquish the demons and punish the offenders. But Krishna, he comes out of his causeless mercy to give great joy to his devotees. The devotees, the pure devotees of the Lord, they are so absorbed in loving service to Krishna that they don't even want liberation or go to Krishna. So Krishna himself comes to meet those devotees. That is the power of the loving devotional service to Krishna, that it attracts Krishna. Also, there are other reasons given in Queen Kunti's prayer about why Lord Krishna comes. And she says that, she gives many reasons. Oh Lord, because you wanted to please the king of Yadus, you came. You wanted to diminish the burden of the earth, therefore also you came. You also came because fervently Devaki and Vasudeva prayed for you, therefore you came. And Krishna is like, yes, 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 that is true, that is true, that is true. And then last she says is that you came here to regenerate this process of hearing and remembering you, and Krishna is pleased. Yes, that is the reason, that is the main reason. So on the day of Janmashtami, at the stroke of midnight, when all the constellations are perfectly arranged, when all the groundwork has been laid, when his associates have already taken birth in this world, the most exalted, sweet, kind, Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. And when he appears, everything is perfectly balanced in all directions. There is auspiciousness in all directions. The demigods are showering flowers. And there is slight thunderous sound, and that waves in the ocean are just following that thunder, which is very, very pleasing to the ears. This is the most auspicious and wonderful divine appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is a little secret I would like to share with the permission of Vaisheshika Prabhu. It is said that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but we hear the story that as soon as the Lord appeared, he appeared in the dungeons of King Kamsa, and Vasudev, according to the instructions of the Lord, took the Lord from Kamsa's prison and carried it over to Vrindavan, where Mother Yashoda was already had. Mother Yashoda already gave birth to a child. So there is a question here. How come Krishna never leaves Vrindavan when in fact he came to Vrindavan on his birth? Right? It's contradictory. So in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami, he gives the secret of what has exactly happened. that Mother Yashoda, she gave birth to twins. One is Durga Devi and one is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And the Lord who took birth in the prison of Kamsa was Vasudev Narayan. And what the Lord, Vasudev actually carried Narayan to Vrindavan, where Krishna was already born from the womb of Mother Yashoda. And when Vasudev carried him to Vrindavan, the Vasudev form actually merged with the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Vasudev took Durga Devi back to the prison of Kamsa. So this is the secret which is there in the birth of... So thank you so much for sharing. Also, Krishna comes... because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that factually I have no work to do, and yet I come to this material world. This seems a little contradictory. Now, Lord says that he doesn't have any work to do, but he says the verse as if says that I am forced to come. But Krishna is not forced, or he is not bound up by any karma. He comes out of his own sweet will, just out of the supreme compassion for the fallen souls who are his sons. Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manasashtan indriyani prakritisthani karshati. Krishna says that my eternal part and parcels are struggling so hard in this world without actually factually knowing who I am. And therefore I come so that I can establish, he is the chief of all chiefs, the supreme lord of all lords. He can establish the right path of devotion. Dharmantu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. That he alone can establish the course of religion and to help us to get out of this miserable situation, which is this material world, where everybody has to struggle. There is no exception to that rule. Right from the ant to Lord Brahma, everybody has to struggle in this material world. But Krishna, when he comes, he displays his most wonderful, magnificent, and very, very sweet pastimes, so that by constant remembrance of those pastimes, one becomes liberated. One need not do anything great, or one need not do anything extraneous. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyakta deham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjana. Krishna says, just listen to my pastimes, and in the association of devotees, these pastimes are supremely relishable to hear, both to the ear and to the mind. And just in this association and hearing, one gets the supreme success. And that is the real purport of Janmashtami. Thank you so much. Very well.
So we're continuing our evening of hearing and chanting about Krishna. And now I'd like to introduce our next speaker tonight, who is one of the core members of our community. While raising a child, she's also become very learned in the Shastra, and also goes out all over Silicon Valley and helps to spread Krishna's message house to house, village to village, and has become very expert at that. Her husband was just here speaking. He's the head of our Bhakti Shastri school. And this is, I'd like to introduce his wife, Malini Devi Dasi. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. I heard yesterday that I should speak something for 5 or 10 minutes about Janmashtami. Then I was thinking the whole day that what is the spirit of Janmashtami? And I started hearing different classes and courses on Janmashtami by Srila Prabhupada and other sannyasis. And I heard something which I thought I'd share with everyone. You may have heard this verse about Janma Karma Chame Divyam quoted by other devotees today. And the verse says that if we can understand the pastimes of Krishna in truth, then we don't have to go through this repeated cycle of birth and death again. But what does it mean by understanding pastimes of Krishna? Because sometimes the pastimes of Krishna could be very bewildering, and we may not be able to understand it in truth. And Srila Prabhupada said on this context that It is very hard. It is almost impossible to understand the pastimes of Krishna on our own. Prabhupada also gave an example that if we want to count all the atoms within this universe, which is a pretty difficult task, but still that could be done, but it is not possible to understand Krishna on our own. The way to understand the pastimes of Krishna is that Krishna should reveal it to us. That's the only way we can understand those pastimes. And Prabhupada said that the formula to actually understand Krishna's pastimes starts with our tongue. He says like Atha Shri Krishna Nama Adi Na Bhavet Grahyam Indriye Sayan Mukhehe Chidvado Swayam Eva Spurachyada. With these blunt material senses, it is very, very difficult to understand the pastimes. But if you start engaging in glorifying the pastimes, starting with your tongue, tongue can do many functions like talk, taste, and things like that. And if we start glorifying the name, fame, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna, then our heart will be purified, because there are so many anarthas in the heart which actually prevents us to understand Krishna as he is. But if you slowly start purifying them by chanting the holy names and glorifying Krishna's forms, pastimes, then we'll be qualified to slowly and gradually be able to understand Krishna's pastimes. That was very inspiring for me because...
Hello.
It was very inspiring because I always, sometimes it was overwhelming when I read something and I couldn't understand it properly. But it was a good meditation for me for the whole day to focus on the names and sincerely praying to give pure devotional service and ask that from Krishna on this day. There was another point that also stuck me was that... we all read Srimad Bhagavatam and we all chant, but the way Parikshit Maharaj understood Bhagavatam in just a couple of days, it's the same Bhagavatam, the same shlokas, everything is the same. It has been passed down by disciplic succession. But how come we are not able to get it the same way as Parikshit Maharaj did? Then I heard that Parikshit Maharaj had this urgency, like he knew that he only had 10 days. So he listened or he tried to understand Srimad Bhagavatam with that urgency to know Krishna. Somehow that living in this material world, I think that I have another 40 or 50 years to live. I never think that I'll die next day or something. At least Parikshit Maharaj had the advantage that he had 10 days, but I don't even know when I'm going to die. But still, I don't have that urgency to know the pastimes of Krishna. But if we have that urgency, then we will be able to understand it the same way as Parikshit Maharaj did. So it's my prayer today to Krishna to be able to sincerely chant the holy names and with an urgency. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Malini Devi Dasi. Let's give her another hand. Hare Krishna. Here at ISV, ISV stands for two things. Stands for ISKCON of Silicon Valley. We're known as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And this particular chapter, as you may have noticed, is in Silicon Valley. And it also stands for Individual, Spontaneous, and Voluntary. Because all of our members here are volunteers. Everyone comes here because they want to come. We don't pay anyone to be here to do their service. And the devotees here are eager to come in here and chant. Therefore, we provide many, many classes for those who want to learn the Shastra, those who want to learn Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye. Yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mam veti tatvataha. That out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And if one who has achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Now, Bhagavad Gita is very clear. It's an open secret to the world. Many, many people speculate about what is the absolute truth. Is God like this or like that? But he's speaking for himself. Why not just pick up Bhagavad Gita and read what he has to say? It's open. It's also open in the Bhagavad Gita what God asks us to do. Very simple. Manmana bhavamat bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru. Mami vaishyasi yuktvaivam matmanam matparayanaha. He says, just think of me. Bow your head to me, become my devotee, and worship me. Simple things. Things we already do anyway in our life. It's a natural, natural thing. So our mission here at ISKCON Silicon Valley is to foster this spirit of devotion in all people. It doesn't matter what background people are from. We have people from all kinds of backgrounds. This is not a secular religious system. It's a universal process that everyone can take to awaken their dormant love for God that's sleeping within the heart. In the material world, the vibration is about profit, about adoration, about distinction. And people argue over territory. This is my line. That's over this side. This is your side. Everyone has some argument about this is mine. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he solves the whole problem. Bhuktaran jagatapasam sarvaloke maheshvanam. It belongs to me. It does. You don't own anything. That solves everything. It's very simple, Bhagavad Gita. Only problem is, who reads Bhagavad Gita? How many people? We have millions of people in the Bay Area, everyone listening to KGO or CNN, and their mind becomes disturbed. But if you read Bhagavad Gita a little bit every day, then your mind becomes peaceful. Shh. Krishna says, this is the peace formula. Just read Bhagavad Gita. You'll understand things as they are, and you'll become peaceful. So therefore, this is our mission here. We argue that the most important aspect of life is the spiritual aspect. We all, of course, have to maintain ourselves. We have to maintain our families. We have to keep our health. These are important. But more important is the spirit soul. It must be nourished. It has to be taken care of. And so who's doing it? Drive up and down Bascom Avenue. Drive all over the city and see who's dedicating 24 hours a day to their full agenda to nourishing the spirit soul. So we are presenting Bhagavad Gita here, plain and simple, as it is. And we invite everyone from all over the world to come and hear Bhagavad Gita, to learn about Bhagavad Gita. We have classes on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. We have classes on Saturday morning at 7:30 a.m. We have classes on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And we have classes all over the Bay Area that are custom-made in people's homes so that you can take up learning in an atmosphere that's comfortable, that you can hear in the association of other eager devotees. So we invite everyone to come and join us here at ISV, where life and devotion is individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. Please come. Our mission is to spread this further all over the Bay Area. We would like to have a big, glorious temple where many more people can come. We're starting a school for children now, daycare, and we also are starting a pre-kindergarten, preschool, and then we're working on developing a graded school all the way up for children to learn in a spiritual atmosphere. And we have many, many projects. There's a project table outside that you can find out all the projects that are going on at ISV. And anyone can come. If you have some desire, you have some skill that you'd like to offer for the Lord, Krishna said, yat koroshi arashnosti yat johasi dadasi yat yat tapasasi kuntiya tat kurishva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, whatever austerity you do, just do it for me, and then it'll be perfect. So we invite everyone, please come back. Please come back and join us. We want your company. We invite everyone to come and participate. Offer what you have, even if it's a humble offering. We want everyone to come and join in this spirit of individual, spontaneous, and voluntary service to the Supreme Lord. And then we'll be happy. And this will spread happiness all over the Bay Area and then around the world. Because what can you do but think globally but work locally? We can only work on ourselves to begin with, right? We cannot affect change in the entire world before we affect change right here in ourselves. So this process we're claiming will cleanse the heart. It will give clear intelligence from reading Bhagavad Gita, from chanting Hare Krishna. So everyone's welcome. Please come. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Sri Janmashtami ki. Gopremanande. Hari Hari Bo. Just as an aside, as we're getting ready, if you like the temple, you like the spirit of it, but you'd like to see a bigger temple, you can have a big hand in that because We're dependent only on the good graces of devotees who come forward and like to contribute to help build a larger facility. There's a table out there where devotees will tell you about our project. I have great pleasure to introduce our next speaker. He is a very senior disciple of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is preaching half-time here in Silicon Valley and half-time in Japan. Although he's an American, as you'll see, he has he joined the Hare Krishna movement in 1970 in Japan, and has been since that time assisting in teaching the Bhagavad Gita all over the world. Now he does so in two languages, and we're fortunate to at least have him for half of the year here at Silicon Valley. Although lately, I think he's been cheating us a little, and we may have to do an audit and find out how many days he's actually giving us here. In any case, it's my great pleasure to introduce my very dear friend and God brother, His Grace Sachidev Prabhu. Hare Bol.
Thank you, Vaisheshika Prabhu. Well, I was just, when we were chanting here, I was just thinking around the world right now at this very moment, practically from hour to hour, as the sun's moving and as the time is changing, people are celebrating Krishna Janmashtami all over the world. It's amazing, isn't it? All by the mercy, really, of Srila Prabhupada and his followers. And Vaisheshika Prabhu mentioned that I joined in Japan. I was born and raised in San Francisco. But for some reason or another, I had to go to Japan in order to find out about Krishna. And it just so happened that the day that I found out about Krishna was Janmashtami. Yeah. Yeah. So I was in downtown Tokyo in a place called Ginza. Anyone been to Tokyo here? So anyone who's been to Tokyo, I'm sure you know Ginza. I know Ruby knows Ginza. It's a very posh, you know, expensive area. And the devotees were there chanting in a place called Skiabashi. And I became attracted to the kirtan, and so I joined them. And they said, why don't you come back to the temple with us tonight? We're going to have a big festival. It's Krishna's birthday. And I said, oh, okay. And so I went back to the festival, and at midnight, they had this fantastic feast cooked by Kirtananda Swami, who was personally trained how to cook by Srila Prabhupada. And it was just a wonderful occasion, and I spent the night, and then the next day was Vyas Puja, or Srila Prabhupada's birthday, and then Srila Prabhupada came. So it's very auspicious to celebrate Krishna Janmashtami. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when we celebrate these holy days of the Lord's appearance, it awakens our devotion. In fact, he says it's the mother of devotion. It gives birth to devotion in our heart. And so I didn't start celebrating Janmashtami till I was 19. I'm sure many of you have been celebrating Janmashtami since you were born and your parents brought you to the temple. So you're at least 19 years ahead of me. But they all add up. You know, whatever, you know, coming here to celebrate the birth of Krishna, and Krishna, he notes these things. He's in our heart. He knows the sacrifices. He knows our eagerness to know him, to want to love him. And he appreciates it. He's the most dear friend. We appreciate someone who has gratitude, don't we? And of course, we don't appreciate people who don't have gratitude, but someone who has gratitude, that means something. And Krishna, he's number one at everything. So he's number one at gratitude. And he appreciates more than anyone our love. And so we notice, you know, after Janmashtami, that we feel a little bit more devotion for the Lord than we did before. Just by his causeless mercy. In the days and the years that follow, just a little bit more our heart is open to the Lord, and just a little bit less we're attracted to Maya. And gradually, this awakening occurs, this reawakening of our love for the Lord occurs when we celebrate Krishna Janmashtami, chant his holy name, come together in Sadhu Sangha. Malini Prabhu, she was mentioning that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma, Chame Divyam, Evam Yo Veti Tatvataha, Chakva Jaya Panarjanma, Naitima Metu Sorjuna. Says that if you can just understand the nature of my appearance, you don't have to take birth again in this world. It's like special mercy for one. And understanding, Srila Prabhupada clarifies that in the purport. He says understanding really means just having faith that God's a person and that when he comes here, he does superhuman activities and it's all recorded. And one simply has faith in that. That understands that the Lord, he is a person, he has feelings, and he is just as much as his creation. He's nothing less. Right? Sometimes people want to say that God has no form and God's not a person. But how can God be anything less than what he's already created? How can the Supreme Source be less than what we are even? So it doesn't make sense. So Krishna, he is the Supreme Person, and he has innumerable incarnations, and when he comes, he exhibits extraordinary pastimes and has extraordinary relationships with his devotees. And we simply have faith in that, we appreciate that, and we come together to celebrate that. That's our ticket back to Godhead. That's our ticket out of this material world. And that helps us awaken our devotion to the Lord. So on this day, I'm so happy to be here with all the devotees. And it's just been timeless, you know, to sit here and chant the names of the Lord together and to look at Radha Madan Mohan the whole time. Time has stopped. And for the devotees who worship the Lord, really there is no time. It's said that with every rising and passing of the sun, our life is shortened by the sun. The sun is actually taking away our life. But for those who worship the Lord, their life is not taken away because when this body finishes, they're not going into another material body to take another birth. They're just simply going to, in an instant, go back, like in a flash of lightning, awaken in their spiritual body and continue their pastimes with the Lord, because that's what we want. Those who want to stay here, they can stay here. But one who wants to go back to Krishna, then he can go back. The Lord, he fulfills all desires. So this is a very, very special day, and because of this day, we're receiving so much mercy from the Lord and so much mercy from devotees. And I just want to thank you very much for coming and for letting me say a little something about Sri Krishna and Janmashtami. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
And now I have a very special treat for you. We have a guest here for the first time. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai Gopremanande. Hare Krishna. We have another guest who's here for his first time, who's also a very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who spent much time with him. Who helped him with projects, especially in Detroit and in Calcutta. He's a very dear friend of mine, Madhavananda Prabhu, who's sitting on my left. I've been bothering him for a long time to please come here. And somehow, Janmashtami is a magical time, so somehow he showed up on this time. And I'd like to introduce you all to my dear friend Madhavananda Prabhu and ask him to say a few words to us all about Lord Sri Krishna. Go Premanandi, please welcome Madhavananda.
Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurvani Vicharani Nirvisesa Sunyavari Paschatra Desa Tarane Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Chutapata Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavangstra Sri Rupam Sagar Jatam Sahagana Raghunatam Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Sri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakansvitanstra Panchakalpa Tribhyastra Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I am very, very happy to be here. I said when I came in this afternoon that this is the best Janmashtami that I've ever been to. And I've been to many, and with Srila Prabhupada, and of course, they're all the best, but... The reason I said it was because when I came in, we were reading Krishna book, and my godbrother Vaisheshika Prabhu is expert at relishing Krishna consciousness constantly, and I'm very happy to be here. His association's the best, and you are all wonderful. I remember once when Prabhupada came into the New York Temple, it was in 1971 in Henry Street, and he looked at the devotees and he looked at the deities and he said, "Your Krishna is wonderful, your temple is wonderful, you are wonderful." And so this day is very, very wonderful, and this movement is very wonderful, and it's all by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, and Narottam Das Thakur and his associates, so of course, the six Goswamis, and Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and his disciples, and I was thinking when Satyadev Prabhu was mentioning that Malini said, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Jovati Tattvaha, that Prabhupada used to quote that verse all the time in India because Krishna says, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, my birth and my activities are not ordinary, they are transcendental. And one who understands this in truth. So Krishna's a historical personality, but he's more than just a historical personality. And it was also mentioned, Nama Chintamani Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Sudho Nitya Mukto Abhinat Vam Nama Namino Sri Nama Prabhu, who we have been honoring tonight by, and who has been blessing us tonight. He's none different from Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada taught us everything, and I feel very unqualified even to be speaking, because to my right and to my left are two very perfect examples of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, and they're very sincere, and I'm very happy to be here. I don't know, it was kind of mystical the way I got here. I had to come up to fill my, renew my 10-year visa for India. And then I was just, after I dropped off my passport, I had 7 hours, and I was, what do I do? And I started praying, and then all of a sudden I got a call. And a devotee said, well, you have to come down to San Jose. And he gave me... the telephone number of Dayanidhi Prabhu, and Dayanidhi gave me the directions, and so it was Sri Krishna's mercy, and Jayatam Surito Pangor Mama Manda Matergati Matsarvasa Padambojo Radha Madana Mohano. So I don't know what else to say except Hare Krishna. This is the first verse of the three verses to the three deities of Vrindavan. Radha, Madan, Mohan are the deities of Srila Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada, and then Sri Sri Radha Govinda, the deities of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, and then Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Srila Das Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. So these are the tattvas, sambandha, abhideya, and prayojan. First, we establish our relationship with Sri Krishna by the mercy of Sanatana Goswami, and then there is that is the prayer Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matergati Matsarvasa Padambojo Radha Madana Mohano. And then Divyad Vindaranya Kalpa Drumaja Sriman Ratnagara Singhasanastho Sri Sri Radha Srila Govinda Devo Pristayibi Sevimano Smarami. So, and Sriman Rasara Sarambi Vamsivatata Takshti Taha Karshan Venus Venir Gopiya Gopinata Shreyastuna. So, I am humbled by your association, because there are so many advanced devotees here, and I am very, very happy to be in your association and glorifying Sri Krishna with you. And I don't know what else to say, except I want to chant again Hare Krishna mantra with you. Let's keep the vibration going.
Thompson's guards are asleep now. They have to be very quiet. They'll wake up.
Reminded that Krishna went through some kind of intrigue like this. After all, he was born in a jail. He did put all the guards to sleep and then went off to Gokula. So his pastimes are sometimes mysterious. May I have the Krishna? I'll just take any Krishna book. Yeah. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his appearance, birth, and activities are all transcendental. And one who understands them factually becomes immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord's appearance or birth is not like that of an ordinary man who is forced to accept a material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in the second chapter. He appears out of his own sweet pleasure. When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became very auspicious. The astrological influence of the star known as Rohini was also predominant, because this star is considered to be very auspicious. Rohini is under the direct supervision of Brahma. According to the astrological conclusion, besides the proper situation of the stars, there are auspicious and inauspicious moments due to the different situations of the different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. At that time, in all directions, east, west, south, north, everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity. There were auspicious stars visible in the sky, and on the surface, and in all towns and villages or pasturing grounds, and within the minds of everyone, there were signs of good fortune. The rivers were flowing full of waters, and lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full of beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forest began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance along with their consorts. The wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers, and the sensation of bodily touch was very pleasing. At home, the brahmanas, who were accustomed to offer sacrifices in the fire, found their homes very pleasant for offerings. Due to disturbances created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire altar had been almost stopped in the homes of Brahmins, but now they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being for sacrifices, the Brahmins were very distressed in mind, intelligence, and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became full of joy because they could hear loud vibrations in the sky of transcendental sounds proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.